Author Sarah Gruen was born in Vancouver, grew up in Ontario, and earned a degree in English literature at the University in Ottawa. Sarah moved to the U.S. in 1999 to take a technical writing job. When she was laid off 2 years later, she decided to try writing fiction. Sarah's an animal lover, and both her first novel, Riding Lessons, and her second novel, Flying Changes, involve horses. Gruen's third book, her breakthrough novel, was set in a circus. Water for Elephants was adapted into a popular movie, starring Reese Witherspoon and Christoph Waltz in 2011. Sarah lives in Western North Carolina with her husband and sons. Today we'll speak with her about her new novel, At the Water's Edge. Welcome, Sarah. It's great to have you with us on the Book Report.
What inspired you to write the story of Ellis, Maddie, and Hank?
I was busy procrastinating one day, which is about 80% of my job. And I ran across an internet story that was about some declassified documents. And one of them was a letter from a high-level Scotland Yard official from 1938 that was discussing the monster and how he didn't think it could be protected from the police. But the thing that captivated me was that nowhere in the conversation was there any hint of a doubt that it existed. And so I just fell down a Nessie rabbit hole. And at the end of the afternoon, I had determined that that was where the setting sort of around that area subject. And so I booked my first research trip.
For the readers who have not yet read your book, can you give us a little overview?
Of the book?
Yes.
It's it starts out with this high society couple, actually sort of a threesome because their best friend is hanging around with them and always has. The main couple fall out with the father-in-law and get cut off financially. And of course, they're too rich to do anything or know how to do anything. So they have to get back into his good graces. And so they decide that they will succeed where he failed, and that is to find the Loch Ness Monster. And so despite the Battle of the Atlantic raging, they bribe their way onto a freighter, and off they go.
So the father had tried to find the Loch Ness Monster previously.
Yes, the famous surgeon's photo of the Loch Ness Monster, I incorporated it into my book as the colonel's photo. And so there's a photo, and there was speculation after several weeks of celebrity and fame for him that perhaps he had faked it.
It must be great fun to set the book in the Blue Blood Society of Philadelphia in the 1940s. How did you research that?
I didn't. I made it up.
I believed it. Did you travel to the Scottish Highlands to get the setting so right?
I did. I spent 5 weeks there in total. I was there in February 1st, and then the next time I went was in the summer. But I loved it in February because I'm Canadian, so that's my kind of weather.
And did you find that the locals do believe in Nessie?
Yes, although they don't talk about it with outsiders at first. They have a healthy distrust of outsiders, but once you get to know them a little bit, and if you're in their home, and if you are introduced to them through friends, then eventually I think every one of them that I met came up with some sort of a anecdote. And the last one came in very recently. It was somebody that I visited with, and when I sent a signed copy of the book in the card, she told me about her encounter. So,
and do they describe it sort of as looking like a dinosaur, or how do they describe it?
They don't. It's just sort of a dark thing in the water. And so there are various things that has been described as, and an overturned boat is one of the things that is actually sort of on the list of them. Because there are various theories about this. The loch itself is physically different than most other bodies of water and is prone to optical illusion. And it's also extremely deep, and there's a big, enormous silt pile of peat basically at the bottom. So these trees, when they die and they fall in and go to the bottom, they get stuck in all this peat, and then they rot, and then they get full of gas, and then they explode to the surface. And so there are theories that, the exploding logs are actually the Loch Ness Monster. But, I've seen seals in the loch, and I've seen otters in the loch, and I've seen deers in the loch, and from a distance, every one of those could appear to be a monster. So sturgeon, I think they've all been called a monster at some point.
We Americans tend to overlook the deprivations in war-torn Europe during World War II. How did you manage to convey it so compellingly?
I had to really, really research it and figure out and find ration books and find out, even if you have the rations for it, did that mean that the shops had it? And if they didn't, if you could actually go and get it somewhere else. And most of the time, no. It was just, you. And so I got some of the ration books, and my family gamely agreed to try to live on rations for a month. And after a couple of days, the kids decided they were having no more of that. And there was one night, it was really funny, because Bob and I were eating something called cheese and onion pudding. And the ingredients were fat and flour, basically. And it said that if you had some stale bread, you could slice it thinly and put it at the bottom. And if you had some rinds of cheese, you could put it on the top. But there was no cheese in this cheese and onion pudding. So we lasted, I think, 2 weeks. But really, and it's also just going and imagining and really just getting into my head. But I did a lot of research on what you could and couldn't get, and the make do and mend and all of these things.
We're speaking with Sarah Gruen on The Book Report.
The attraction between Maddie and Angus was very hot, and wouldn't we all love to have an Angus in our lives? How have readers responded to the romance?
I think they all agree that everyone needs an Angus in their life.
I have an Angus in my life.
Me too.
Well, are you already at work on a new project?
I am. I'm in the research phases.
Can you give us a glimpse?
Well, I can't really, because I don't ever know the plot until I start writing. And so, you know, my book proposal was one of these crazy things, which started out by saying, this is going to be a very, you know, unusual book proposal, because I never know my plot till I'm writing. I could give you a plot, but it won't resemble the final book at all. So why don't we just not waste time?
Are you a writer who carves out 5 hours a day, and whatever you're doing, you must be at your desk during those 5 hours, or what's your process?
It's more like 7 or 8, and it's usually just until I'm absolutely spinning my wheels and I can't get anywhere else, and I realize that what's taking me 2 hours right now, I could get done in 15 minutes if I actually went to bed.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Gosh, I don't actually know. I was very late, because I had a couple of, my youngest son was very ill for a while during that, and so there was a good year for that. And so it's hard to say. I mean, I think maybe 3 years, but I don't know how much of that was entirely just writing.
What was it like for you to have your book, Water for Elephants, made into a movie? And were you involved, and did you coach the actors to talk about that?
Well, it was pretty surreal. And I didn't believe it until it started filming. And in fact, I'm not sure I really believed it until they showed me it for the first time in the screening room, and then it was real. But it was very cool. It was very fun. And because I think, you know, the minuscule percentage of books that get sold, the film rights get sold, actually get turned into movies, I threw everything in, like, the kitchen sink into the contract. And so I threw cameos for my whole family in, and this and that and the other thing. So they made the movie, and so my family's in it.
Okay, tell us, so we know where to look for them.
Well, I have 3 boys, and so my husband and the boys are all dressed like all the other men, but I am in a white dress with red polka dots and a cloche hat. And in the scene where Rosie is raiding the grocery stand, and when Rob Pattinson rushes by and elbows a woman out of the way and says, "Excuse me, ma'am," that's me.
How was it working with an elephant?
She's terrific. But you're very mindful of the size, and especially in the crowd scene when you're behind her, and if she steps up, it's, you know, you got to back up, and there's people behind you. And yeah, elephants, being very close to an elephant, especially after researching for this book, makes me nervous.
Yeah. So any final thoughts about At the Water's Edge?
I miss the characters, and I'm actually going back to Scotland in about a month, so I'm going to have to, you know, get to see all my favorite haunts again and have haggis one last time.
Not my favorite Scottish treat, but I love the countryside and I love the people. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.